Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this wonderful day here, 21st of July. Hope you've had a good week. We have a few things going on right now. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we have just six different people from our church being baptized at Chris and Kathleen Both's place. It's going to be a great time. Come on out. Bring a side dish or dessert to share if you would like. Bring a lawn chair to sit on there in the backyard. And they're going to share their testimonies. And then we're going to get into the pool there to be able to baptize them. It's a wonderful celebration, a new life. And you can come on out. You're invited tonight to our baptism service at 6 o'clock. Also, this coming Wednesday, we have a Breakout and Collide middle school and high school trip to Kansas City to Worlds of Fun. If you are interested in going to that, you and your friends, or have some kids that you know that are interested in going to that, just contact Pastor Tobias right away to let him know, and there'll be a registration form that he'll need to get you to fill out real quickly. But it's going to be a great fun day down there at that amusement park. On August 11th, so 3 weeks from today, we will start our back to fall and two services again. And so we'll have an 8:30, 10:30 service back starting on August 11th. And then on August 18th, we will start up Sunday school again. And that's the same week we have youth groups beginning, and then towards the end of the month, I think it's August 24th, that Wednesday or something right around there, we will have our midweek for our elementary school kids, as well as all of our small groups starting up again. So within the next month, everything's going to kick back off again in all of our programming. We've enjoyed this summer all being together at the one service at 9:30, but now we're going to go back to the two services we need to. It has been full all summer. We've really appreciated everyone who's been able to come out throughout this whole summer to be together. It's been wonderful to see both services, different people together that they normally don't interact because at two different services, be together and be able to celebrate. They're part of the same church. So that's been great. Starting August 11th, we'll go back to our two services. So, all right, if you have your scriptures, turn with me over to Psalm 46 today. I'd like to preach from Psalm 46 today. Psalm 46 is this beautiful psalm, and I'm going to read it for us here, these 11 verses, and then speak a little bit about all that it means. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, but he lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There's a famous hymn of Martin Luther written 500 years ago called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a bulwark never failing. Bulwark, an old English word for a defending wall. Luther's hymn goes on to say, "Our helper, he, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal." But then verse 2 of Martin Luther's hymn is everything to me. For it says, "Did we in our own strength confide, if so, our striving would be losing, if not for the right man by our side, the man of God's own choosing. Who you ask who this may be, Christ Jesus, it is he. The Lord is his name, from age to age the same, and he will win the battle." The message of the hymn, just like Psalm 46, is that the Lord is our helper amid the flood. Our fortress, our deliverer. It's not our own strength, not some other man, but Christ alone who is our hope. This is who we trust. I learned at my grandmother's funeral that Psalm 46 was her favorite. I've always liked it because of the verse, "Be still and know that I am God." I've needed that reminder in my life in many anxious, unsettling moments, but I have also come to love Psalm 46 more and more after learning of the context of when it was written and what was happening at the time. Many believe this particular Psalm 46, as well as the Psalms 47 and 48, were all three written by King Hezekiah, who was born in 744 BC. As a young man, Hezekiah witnessed the fall of half of his nation. The northern kingdom of Israel fell into the hands of the Assyrians when Hezekiah was just a boy. He saw half of his nation drift away from God and over time begin putting their hope in the wrong things, the wrong people, and things only began to fall. Many were taken into exile and others were just lost. Well, 20 years after the fall of the northern kingdom, in now 701 BC, Hezekiah, as a young man, is now the king of the only remnant of Israel left, Jerusalem and some southern cities. But the Assyrians were now pressing and rapidly approaching them next. They eyed Jerusalem and they marched toward it and they surrounded it on every side. And the Assyrians were known for their brutality and their cruelty. The city of God was scared. But King Hezekiah was a good man and a God-fearing man. The Bible says in 2 Kings 18 that he trusted in the Lord and he did not stop following him. When all his military advisors were telling him to call on Egypt for help because they needed more troops and alliances to overcome Assyria, Hezekiah would not. He did not put his trust in Egypt, but instead he trusted in the Lord. And in that moment of greatest need, he had his people pray. And it made all the difference between life and death. It tells us in 2 Chronicles 32 how his troops and the families within the walls of Jerusalem were scared. They were surrounded on every side. But he gathered them in the city square, and King Hezekiah stood up among them and encouraged them all, saying in 2 Chronicles 32, 7, he said, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And when he said those words, the people rose with new faith. They put their confidence in the Lord, not in their stone walls, not in their spears or bows, not in their numbers, which they were far outnumbered. No, they put their confidence in the Lord in that moment. Just after King Hezekiah spoke, the military leader of Assyria, who was right outside their walls, started shouting back and rebuking the Israelites and mocking their God, just like Goliath did with David when David stood before him, just like Pharaoh did with Moses when Moses showed up with a shepherd's staff. So too, the Assyrian leader said, "This will never work. Don't believe your king and his go-get-em speech, for no god of any nation has been able to withstand us. Your God won't deliver you." And I think how critical of a moment that was for them. Who would they believe? You know, and it's true in our life as well at times too. We can have critical moments. Moments of decision. Two paths lay before us. Which one are we going to choose? Who are we going to be? Who are we going to follow? Who are we going to listen to? The voice of the enemy in our head trying to get us to doubt God or believe in ourselves or some other person to save us? Or are we going to trust in his word in that moment and trust in God right now and seek to follow him above all else? Will we fear and run around in our own strength and only a losing battle? Or will we be still and keep on believing and praying and turning to him and obeying and serving and loving as he has called us to do? Be still, he says, and know that I am God. Well, thankfully, in our story, God's people did the right thing in that moment. With the huge army outside their walls, they didn't listen to the Assyrian leader who made threats, but they put their trust in God. King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah led them in prayer, it says, all night long. And it says in 2 Kings 19:35 that very night, the angel of the Lord went out and destroyed the army of Assyria. It doesn't tell us how. It just says that over 185,000 troops surrounding the city lay dead in the morning. And it says when the people got up in the morning, they went and they looked out over the wall at the desolation and watched the same military leader who had shouted rebuke and mocked the Lord just the day before. They watched him and only a few hundred troops withdraw. God had saved them, as only God can do. All they could do was pray and call on his name, but that's all that was needed to have faith in the Lord in that moment. They didn't have to shoot one arrow. They didn't lose one man. There was no explanation other than God. It was a miracle, an answer to prayer. Just like the miracle of Israel being delivered out of slavery in Egypt and crossing the Red Sea on dry ground and the Egyptian army following after them only to be washed away in a moment. They didn't part the sea. They didn't send it back again. They didn't fight the battle. God did. They just had to have faith. This was the same type of miracle, just like when David overcame Goliath. It was a boy with faith in God versus a giant who mocked God. The Lord was with the boy, and all it took was one little stone to fell him. Well, it is believed that King Hezekiah, who was also a poet, wrote the words of Psalm 46 during and after this miracle, saying, "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. There is a river," he says, "whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She won't fall. God will help her at the break of day." He says, "Nations in uproar, kingdoms fall, but he lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty," he said, "is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done," he says, "the desolations he has brought. He makes wars cease. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God.'" At different times in my life and yours, we may need to read these words and let God speak to us in our circumstance, our situation, and remind us of who he is and that we can trust him in this battle. For he is present in every threat or fear. Even though we don't live our life in the ancient world with kingdoms and swords and spears and castles, and maybe don't have to face the same kind of battles they did, we do face battles every day, different ones. Even just not to give up on what is right or on the mission or loving that person when it's tough or doing the right thing when no one else is. We face our battles. And as Martin Luther said, if not for the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing, you may ask who this may be, Christ Jesus it is he. The Lord is his name, from age to age the same. He will win the battle. The disciple John wrote in 1 John 4:4 that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Let that speak to you today. It begins with repentance and surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, who came to save us from our sins and fill our life with God's Spirit, his real presence now alive within us, to help us live today and to serve him and to do what he has called us to do. And then one day he has promised to rise us from the grave, that we would live with him forever. It begins by accepting the love of God and the grace of God that has come to you in Jesus Christ, and turning your life over to him, come whatever may. But then each day, with Christ by our side, we learn to live for him and not for ourselves, to trust him with each and everything that we got to face, with courage and with faith, to walk with him in prayer and humility and scripture and obedience, and know that he will help us. He will go with us every day. It is not a religion here. It is a relationship with God every day where he walks with us. He is our strength and our hope for our life and for the world. Our hope is not in Washington. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And if God is with us and for us and his love is reigning over us, then we don't need to fear. Like Hezekiah said to the people, the one who is with us is greater than the one who is outside our walls. They just have an arm of flesh. We have the Lord who will help us. And we'll fight our battles. Don't look at the numbers. Don't look at the odds or the challenges before you, or you might get defeated. All the Lord needs is one. One plus God is always the majority. One man of faith. One mom who is praying for her children. The devil can't compete with Jesus. Even just a mustard seed of faith. Even just two little fish and five loaves. That's all that's needed for God to do a miracle. So trust him now. I shared Psalm 46 with the men's group at men's breakfast a few weeks ago, and I gave them four reminders of who God is that Psalm 46 tells us. And I see King Hezekiah here reminding the people in Psalm 46 who the Lord is and why they can be still and trust him. And I want to share those four things with you today and whatever you're facing. And as I prepared these four points, I realized they all begin with P, which never happens to me. I go to conferences and preachers have always got sermons so eloquent with four points that begin with the same letter. And I don't know how they do it, but this week I actually have four points that begin with the same letter. So it must be God, right? But I see four attributes of God laid out for us in Psalm 46 that remind us that we can trust him. And the first is that God is our protector. In verse 1, it says, God's our refuge and strength. And in verse 7, it says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The word refuge means a shelter, like a cave or a rock, like the old hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Our refuge is the place that we run to when we're in trouble or feel scared or overwhelmed or in danger. We all turn to something to feel safe. We might run to our room. We might call on a friend. We might turn to alcohol, whatever. What? Where do we go? It's the shelter we try to hide in during the storm. When the tornado's coming, right? The weatherman always says, okay, now go to your safe spot. Go to your basement. That's our refuge, our safe place. We all got them. Well, the word fortress meant a strong tower, a mighty wall. This was so important in the ancient world. Every city had one. They built their cities with walls around them. The one in Jerusalem was like 10 to 20 feet thick. I can't even tell you how high it was. It was that thick. This is how they felt safe and less vulnerable. They built a wall. Others had armies. It's what we do. When I was little, I think I had a lot of fear. One thing that came to my mind lately was how, as a kid, I liked to draw. And there was a time I loved to draw fortresses, actually space stations. I would draw them, and what I remember about them was how I made mine completely covered, top, bottom, side to side. And so everyone could be safe inside. And no Darth Vader or mean person could get in to try to harm those inside. I would draw these pictures. But behind them, I think, was something deeper happening in me. Something we all can face. A vulnerability or feelings of fear. A desire to be safe and keep everyone we love safe. To protect. And I think I had a lot of fear as a kid. And sometimes it can still come out in different ways. And sometimes I go to the Lord, and other times I still try to build a wall. But there's only one answer to fear. There's really only one who can deliver us from us. Give us courage to stand. Give us strength to face what we must. Give us peace which passes all understanding. Gives us faith and love and hope to believe. And that is the Lord. Again, the context of Psalm 46 is that the enemy was literally surrounding the people on every side. They had nowhere to go. Between them and this vast army was just a wall that they had made of stone. But it wasn't enough to keep the big army out. And their army was much smaller than the other guys. But Hezekiah is saying in the psalm, don't be afraid, for our fortress is not just this stone wall. It is the Lord who will protect us. He is our forever safety. God is our protector. Do you feel that and know that? The point of this psalm is that we run to certain places for refuge. We build walls and try to hide behind them. But there's only really one place where we're truly safe and can know peace. And that is in the arms of our Savior. That is within the fortress of His love and salvation. That is why Paul can say, they can take my body, but let them take it. They can't take my spirit. It belongs forever to the Lord, and I know where I'm going. He had a peace that wasn't behind something that he had built, but something that God had built. The Lord is our fortress, our salvation, our deliverer. He is the rock upon which we stand. He is our refuge that we run to. And this is not to say that we don't lock our doors still or have an army or security on our phone or tell our kids to not take candy from a stranger, but just go to the pastor's office. There's plenty of it in there. Of course, we'll still wear our seatbelts and take medicine, but think about the walls you have built to feel safe behind. It might be a bank account. It might be an image that you're projecting. It may be this nation and army you hope is bigger and better than other nations. I don't know what all the fortresses and refuges you have run to. I continue to see mine more and more every day. I continue to see that in some ways I'm still just that scared kid trying to keep myself and everyone safe. But as each thing I do to try and feel safe and every wall I try to hide behind breaks, or God brings me, tries to bring me out from under it, I am learning. I keep learning how to really love and trust and put my faith in Him every day, the one who never fails, who holds my life in His hands, who has secured me forever with Him, and who goes with me. God is our true refuge and strength. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our true fortress. He is who I hide myself within. God is my protector. The second descriptor of God in Psalm 46 is that God is our provider. God's our protector and our provider. We read in this psalm in verse 4 how it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Here's an amazing fact that you maybe don't know. Archaeologists have discovered that Jerusalem is one of the only cities in the ancient world that was not built right next to a river. Water is so central to the ancient world. The people knew they could not survive without it. Every other important ancient city is built next to a river, but not Jerusalem. The Jordan River is actually far away. But deep underground is the Gihon Spring, just outside the city in the valley. And what King Hezekiah did was build an underground water system connecting that spring to the Pool of Siloam within the city, so water would flow within the walls. This is one way the people could withhold so long the Assyrian army just outside their gates, because they had water. There was a river whose streams underneath their feet made glad the city of God. The underground system they cut by hand is called Hezekiah's Tunnel today, and we walk through it every trip to Israel that we go. It's deep under the city. But again, it's really a miracle. God provided that water for his people, those streams in the desert, sustaining them every day. And I think this can speak to us. Jesus is the fountain of living water for us. He is, in this desert, our life. He is what sustains us every day. He told this to the Samaritan woman at the well. In our desperation and thirst and need, the Lord pours into our life. He is the well that never runs dry. His word is life. His love is everything. He provides us with everything we need. Just like Jesus told us on the Sermon on the Mount, the Father knows what you need, and he gives you what you need. Just ask him. God's people have access to hidden spiritual resource that only he can and will provide. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. It's not too much for him. He took care of the Israelites every day in the desert for 40 years. He provided the water and the food. He protected them from bandits. He fed them every day. He's the protector and the provider, and he wants to do the same in each of our lives. How many times in my life has God provided for me in ways I could not predict? And I shouldn't be surprised, but every time I am, God provides. He opens a door for a job. He makes possible an education, an apartment, a home. When things look like we're not going to be able, he opens the valve. He gives. As Jesus said, our Father knows what we need. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. He provides. I love that Jerusalem is one of the only cities not built next to a river, because the Lord is the river. He wanted his people to trust in him, not worship the river like they did in Egypt with the Nile. It's not the river that gives you life. It's the source and creator of that river. It is God. It's not the person or the job or the money in the account. Don't put your faith in the wrong place. He is the river. He is the one who sends the rain. He's the one who makes the water flow from the rock where there shouldn't be water. He brings it. He makes the streams appear deep down where there shouldn't be. The Lord taught his people to trust him for everything they need. Every day, he provides the streams in the desert. He is the protector, and he is the provider. Third attribute we find of God in Psalm 46 is that God is powerful. The Israelites were tempted to look at the power of the army outside their wall instead of focus on the power of God within it. Just like Peter was tempted to look at the power of the waves rather than the Savior who's walking on them. It was not King Hezekiah who would win the battle. He reminded his people. He said, with the Assyrian army, just an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God who will help us and we'll fight our battles. What does the scripture say? It's not by our might nor our power, but by my spirit, declares the Lord. It was more than Moses who went before Pharaoh. It was more than David who stood before Goliath. It was more than Elijah who went to King Ahab. More than Esther who saved her people. It was more than the disciples who spread the gospel. It was the Lord at work within them. His power revealed through ordinary people like us. Psalm 46 says in verse 6, nations are in uproar, kingdoms rise and fall. Things we never thought would happen in our lifetime are happening. Where will our focus be? the power against or the power that is for, the power of the waves or the power of the one who is over them. Psalm 46 says, we won't fear though the earth give way beneath us, or the mountains fall into the sea, or the waters roar and foam, the waves so deep. He says, "He, our God, he lifts his voice and the earth melts. He speaks, be still, and it is so." The Lord Almighty goes with us. Psalm 46 says, come and see what he has done. Look at the desolations of this army out here. Who is like our God? And Jesus told the disciples the same things that he had been doing, they would be doing an even greater. And we see that in the book of Acts, how in chapter 3, Peter suddenly walks with new power. He goes up to a crippled man who has been asking for money, and he says, silver or gold I don't have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk, and the man does. This wasn't Peter. This was the power of God doing what God does, the Holy Spirit. When Peter spoke, thousands came to believe, not because of Peter, but because of the Spirit of God working through his words. In 1 Corinthians 2:1, Paul said, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with eloquence or human wisdom. I knew nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest in me, but him. He is the Lord Almighty. We are weak. He is strong. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation to anyone who believes. The power of God was displayed in Christ and then within his church. Ordinary disciples now living fully for him, speaking with new authority, living as a new creation, new faith in them, powerful hope and love in them, revealing the power of God, which changes us. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. Which leads me to that final P, that fourth attribute of God we need to know in order to be still. And that is that God is present. So our God is present. He is our protector, our provider. He is powerful, and he is present. Verse 1 says he's an ever-present help. Verse 5 says God is within her. Verse 7 says the Lord Almighty is with us. And verse 11 repeats it. The Lord Almighty is with us. Four times in this short psalm, Hezekiah is saying, you're not alone. God is here. He is present with us. We celebrate this truth in Jesus Christ, for God took on flesh and made his dwelling among us in each of our lives. Jesus said, surely I'll be with you always to the end of the age. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're still there. How many of you have ever tried to run away from God? You can't. How many of you ever thought you've been abandoned by him? You never will. He is the shade at your right hand. He is the rock beneath your feet. He is the shepherd who goes before and behind. And when I wander, he's the one who brings me back. He is the voice calling out to me in the desert. Psalm 46 reminds us, God is present. The verse, be still and know that I am God. The word, Hebrew word translated be still there is literally the Hebrew word hands off. Step back. Be still. Quit with your meddling and fixing. Quit trying to solve this problem you can't. Quit trying to fix it in your strength and wisdom and way. Your ways are not my ways. I'm here right now. Hands off. I got this. Be still. Know I'm God. Surrender and trust me. I'm not far away. I'm right next to you. God is a hands-on God. There's a time we're called to obey and act, and there's a time to be still and know he is at work. Trust him. He's got this. Just pray. Where in your life right now is God asking you to be still? You keep trying and trying in all your strength. You just call on him and let go. Know he is God with you, and he's looking after it. He's working on it. He cares more than you do. It's going to be okay. He won't let you down. You don't need to fear. You don't need to run all around a world that doesn't believe. Just walk with your God in the peace of Christ. Daily listen and for his voice and do only what he tells you to do. Trust him with the rest. He's going to do it. God is our protector, provider. He's all powerful. And he's most definitely present. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.